Amen. As we think about the book of Philippians, we again remind you that Paul is writing back to the church at Philippi. So remember, the book of Philippians is a letter to the church at Philippi. And so he's writing to them. He's variously giving them various doctrines and teachings and so forth. Man, it's just some great passage. If most of you who've been around a while know that Philippians is my favorite book. And we could spend a lot of time on the book. But it just goes on to say in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved, dearly beloved, I beseech you." And he goes on and begins to talk about various things going on there in the church. And writing to the church at Philippi, he's in prison in a dark dungeon in Rome, and he's writing back to them and he's saying, "Thank you for supplying my needs." They had sent Epaphroditus, a messenger he calls him, Epaphroditus from Philippi to Rome to supply Paul's needs, to supply his needs. And I said all that to say this. As we think about verse 19, we think about Paul saying to them, "Listen, you supplied my physical needs. You supplied the needs that I had. And by the way, they were very poor, very poor. You supplied the needs that I, the Apostle Paul, had in your poverty. But my God supply your needs, my God will supply your needs according to what? His riches and glory." Listen, His supply, His resources are not lacking. He's not poor, amen? He said, "You provided me in your poverty, but my God will supply for you in His riches." Amen? And so as we look at that, and Paul, what a wonderful promise he shares with this church at Philippi. By the way, that same promise is to us as well. And again, Paul's just simply saying here, God will supply your needs. In this world we live in today, we have great needs. As we think about today, even the economy, and I don't want to be negative this morning, and the things going on, I believe more today than ever. As we, in the past few years, we were having to really think about and rely upon God and what He can do for us. Listen, it is great to be a Christian. Amen? It's great to be a child of God. And God has given us this promise as a child of God to supply all our needs. All our needs. I'm simply going to take the verse and just break it up and preach it. Ready? All our needs. That's the first point. All your needs. What needs? Number one, your temporal needs. Physical needs. God fed Elijah there by that river by a raven coming to supply him meat. And so if God has supplied for Elijah, He'll supply for you. And He'll supply for me. What will He supply for us? Our food and clothing. Matthew says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What things? What you shall eat. What you shall wear. In fact, Matthew says, don't concern yourself with what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. God provides for the sparrow. God provides water for the grass. If God will supply food for a sparrow, don't you think He would supply for His children? Amen? Listen, when I was a kid on the farm, and we were on the farm Friday and Saturday up in Duncan, Oklahoma, my grandparents' farm, now my parents live there on the farm, and when me and my brother were discussing again about my great-grandpa. My great-grandpa was a big man. He was about 6'1", just a big farmer, had big hands. I just remember, I was his favorite, by the way. Just to remind you, I know some of our people already know that, but remind you, I was his favorite. We used to go check the chicken house together and do all those things. And so, but I'll never forget, on the farm, of course, we were always out shooting something. I mean, that was just part of it, right? I mean, from the time we had a BB gun, we was out shooting stuff. Rabbits or squirrels or whatever else. But Grandpa, great-grandpa, had a rule, and that is you could only shoot, if you're going to shoot birds, you could only shoot sparrows, because there are like 20,000 gazillions of them, and he didn't think they were very pretty. And you could shoot, what else would a farmer want to shoot? Crows. You can't kill a crow. As a kid, I'm telling you, you just can't kill them. They're indestructible. I've tried. Shotguns, everything. Anyway, you can, it just takes a lot. They won't stay in one spot. But those sparrows were so fun to just boom, shoot. You know, if God will take, some of y'all, God will take care of a little sparrow, and there's bazillions of them, God will take care of you. Amen? He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. If God will take care of the sparrow, He'll take care of you. Matthew said that. He'll take care of you. God will supply those physical needs that we have. When it comes to jobs or comes to sickness, when it comes to family and trials and all these things, God's promised to supply those needs. Comes to our household and the cares of our homes, He will, the Bible says, supply all our needs, all our physical needs. Not part, not some, but all. Amen. Secondly, He will supply not only our physical needs, but our spiritual needs. And we could spend all day on this one. But the requirements of the soul are very needy, in fact, beyond comprehension. We have a great need today. The great need of cleansing. The soul requires cleansing. By the way, before we stand before God someday, we must come before Him righteous. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. What is righteousness? That means the works that we do, the things we do. There are many people today who are trying to earn their way to heaven. They're trying to earn their way into acceptance with God. And God's simply saying that all the things that we do are as filthy rags. Filthy rags, those pussy, runny, sore rags that those lepers wore, that's what God compares our works to, our righteousness to. Listen, we are born into this world unrighteous. We are born into this world selfish by nature, selfish in our disposition. And therefore, we have nothing on our own. But Jesus Christ came to this world about 2,000 years ago, and for 33 and a half years He lived a righteous life. What does that mean? He lived a sinless life. And the Bible says He lived that sinless life in order that He might supply righteousness to us. That is, He, God the Father, made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous in Him. We are made righteous in Christ. In other words, when the Bible says here, Paul says He will supply all our needs, He will supply the righteousness that we need in order that we might stand before God one day, perfect and holy, and that we might be able to enter heaven. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, my sinful record was erased, and Christ's sinless, righteous record was put in its place. My sinful record, that's a record that I had accumulated. It was, and as I, the selfishness that I had accumulated, those selfish deeds that I accumulated, all those were erased, past, present, and future, and Christ's sinless record was put in its place. That's the righteousness He supplies. My God shall supply all my needs. What needs? My spiritual needs. The first spiritual need that all of us have is righteousness. Righteousness. I cannot enter heaven without righteousness. And the Bible says I have none of my own. So it's got to come from another source. But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the supplier of righteousness. You say, well, how do I accept this righteousness? You do it by faith. By simply putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His life, His death, and His resurrection. Putting your faith and trust in Him, believing that He lived and He died and He rose again in order that you might have eternal life. Understanding that you're a sinner. By the way, we're sinners, folks. I saw that again during Thanksgiving, right? When I was sitting at the table with a fork and a knife here. Amen. We're sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're selfish by nature. Jesus Christ came and supplied that righteousness we need. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, won't you do that today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ supplies that spiritual need. Everyone's born with a spiritual void in life. That void can only be filled by way of Jesus Christ and the righteousness that He supplies. There will be no greater event in your life than the accepting of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He supplies our need. He supplies that cleansing that we need. By the way, Christians this morning, He supplies that daily cleansing that we need. Well, just because we get saved doesn't mean we don't sin, right? As Linda sings so often, we are just sinners saved by grace. Amen. We have to come to God. The Bible says if we say we had no sin, we're a liar and the truth isn't in us, 1 John says. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that daily cleansing that the Lord provides for us. We need that armor of God that He supplies for us there in Ephesians. We need the doctrines, the teachings of the Bible to strengthen us. He's going to supply those spiritual needs that we have. We need instructions. Instruction in the things of God. Who's going to supply the instruction in the things of God? Jesus is for us. He's going to supply that need for us. Who's going to remember and remind us of the comfort we have? By the way, He's promised us comfort. There's great comfort in His promises. Amen? But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches. That's a great promise. There's comfort in that promise. Amen? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's a great promise. We can take comfort in that promise. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We can take comfort in that promise. Who's going to supply those daily instructions of the Lord? Who is going to illuminate us? By the way, we need that. We need illumination concerning the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we need to have the mind of Christ. How are we to know the mind of Christ? By way of the Holy Scriptures, by way of the Lord. He'll supply that need for us. Christian, do you understand this morning that Philippians says again that we are to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? That mark is to be like Jesus Christ. In order to be like Jesus Christ, you ought to know something about Him. Amen. We need that instruction from the Word of God. We need to know the mind of Christ. And Jesus supplies that for us. He's promised to supply that for us. The supply of joy, spiritual joy, by His Word. And we could make a need list as long as I could just read it out all day long, right? If we were to make a book, it would be that thick. Kind of like our fishing stories, this long, right? Need. Want. Would be huge. Not only did we take these spiritual needs, but we also need help being kept from this world. We also need help from coming out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. We need help in living for the Lord. Amen? He's promised to supply our needs, right? Not just our physical or the food we eat, the clothes we wear, but He's promised to comfort us, to instruct us, to cleanse us, to give us joy, all these things. But He's also promised that He will help us in our time of need when it comes to temptation. Deliver us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Amen? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are kept from this world. We are supplied the strength we need to do so. Our needs are to be kept from temptation and bitterness. I tell you what, bitterness is running rampant today. People who get their feelings hurt and can't get over it. If you're bitter today, God's promised to supply that need for you. If you're caught up in the cares of this world and caught up in the lifestyles of this world, and maybe you're captured or addicted to drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be, He's promised to supply that need for you. Not the need of the drug, but the need to escape it. Amen? If you're alone this morning, if you're alone, if you've been widowed or left alone, Jesus promised to supply that need for you. What need? A companion. A companion. He sticks closer than a brother. Amen? Jesus promised, Paul says here, He's promised to supply our needs. He's promised to keep us from this world and to help us in our time of need when we are tempted. He's promised to be that companion that we need in the times of loneliness. You ever just felt like you're the only one left? My wife don't love me anymore. Kids don't like me anymore. You know, just feel forsaken. God's promised to be that companion, that fulfill that need. He's promised, again, grace. By the way, we need grace to be a good example. Amen? We need power to be that good example. He's promised to supply that need. Parents this morning, grandparents, we live in a tough day today. A tough day to raise kids. A tough day to raise a family. A tough day to deal with issues that when we were 10 and 11, we never had to deal with. When we were 12 and 13, we never had to deal with. Listen this morning, God has promised to supply the need of helping you being a good parent. God's promised to supply the need of helping you with your household. All right? Is He promised to supply all our needs or some of them? Do we have a need for help in raising our kids? Amen. Then He's promised to supply that need. Amen. To have courage to sit down with your children and discipline your children. To have courage to sit down with your children and give them the guidance they need. He's promised to supply the need of wisdom in raising your children if you'll simply go to Him and ask. He'll supply that need for you. Supply the need. Parents, we need to take up that banner in raising our kids now. And go to God humbly and say, Lord, You've said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Our kids are bombarded at school. They're bombarded by the television, bombarded by their friends. I get a few hours with them. Lord, I don't know what to do. He'll give you wisdom and grace in raising your children. He's promised to supply that need. Oh, listen, parents, we need to remember who supplies our needs. It's not the school system that supplies our needs. This is going to be an ouch a little bit, but not necessarily the church that supplies our needs. God's the promise to supply that need. And we need to quit looking to others and go to God to help us with these needs, whatever they may be. Managing a household, managing finances, managing jobs, managing our children and raising families and all the things down the list. Listen, God has promised to supply our needs. By the way, the Bible says in Hebrews, if He breaks His promise, He's a liar. If He breaks a promise, then He's no longer God. He can't be God and lie. So if He promises to supply our needs and He doesn't do it, then He's not God. Amen? Greatest need that we all have is righteousness. We have a great need today. Need in every area of our lives. Listen, we must trust Him and go to Him. But my God, look there at Philippians again. As we look at this verse, it says He'll supply our needs. So He supplies our needs physical, our clothing and our what we're going to eat. He supplies our spiritual needs. This delves into the realm of our actions and how we live and what we do. And again, in raising our children and being cleansed daily. All these needs that we have, God will supply every need, not part of the need, not just a one or two of them, but He supplies all of our needs. But my God, who supplies those needs? God does. By the way, this God is the God of Paul. This God is Jehovah God. He's Jehovah Jireh, the one who will provide. This is the God who chose and picked out Abraham. This is the God who provided for Abraham, who provided for Isaac, who provided for Jacob, who provided for Joseph in his time of need. This is the same God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is the same God who stilled the calm, stilled the storm there on the raging sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is the God that I serve. This is the God that we serve. And this is the God who's promised to supply all of our needs. If He can make the world, He can surely supply you supper. Amen. He is the God who George Mueller served. George Mueller was a great, great man of God in the 1800s who supplied and fed thousands of orphans with no money of his own. But everything, he simply went to God and asked for it. And God supplied the need of thousands of orphans simply through and by George Mueller's prayer to the Lord. Listen this morning, God will supply every one of your needs. You say, well, He did that for George Mueller, and He did that for Abraham, He did that for the apostles on the Sea of Galilee, but He doesn't work that way anymore. Yes, He does. The same God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. If you have a need this morning, He said He'll supply it. And He'll work in whatever way He seems fit to do so. He does work. He does supply. He does move. By the way, though, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Listen, this morning, you say, well, I prayed, and He hasn't supplied my needs. Listen, He supplies all of our needs. Maybe just not in your timing. By the way, He's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. He's never late. Never late. By the way, why should you question Him? You don't have to ask why when you know who. Amen? A Christian who has grown in his faith, a Christian who has grown in the Lord, will come to the place in his life where he says, Lord, no matter what comes into my life, no matter what my kids do, no matter what happens with my job, no matter what spiritual crisis I may face, I don't have to ask you why, because I know You're in charge. He's in charge. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows from beginning to end. Do you understand there's no time with God? And I don't have time to develop that this morning. But you know that everything is present with God? God knows all things. He knows what lies beyond the bend. That's the God that I serve, the God who knows past, present, and future. And therefore, He knows my needs now and my future needs. But my God shall supply. That word supply means fill to the full. Fill to the full. As you think about this particular point, I think of the lady in the Bible who was a widow whose husband had died and had left her destitute. And the debtors came and said, we're going to sell your children in order to pay the debt. Well, the prophet heard of this, and the prophet came to her and said, listen, go take all the pots you can find. Get the pots from your neighbors and all the clay jars you can find and bring them to the house. She got all the clay jars that her and her sons could find, and they brought them to the house. And she took he said, now take the pot of oil that you have and fill these pots up. And she began to pour out of this one pot into another pot. And she knows that pot filled up. She poured the same pot now. She has the same clay jar. She fills up another clay jar and fills up another clay jar. Out of this one pot, out of this one clay jar, she fills up numerous clay jars until all the clay jars were full. Then the Bible says that the oil stayed. It stopped. The oil stopped when the need was supplied. That's the kind of supply our Lord gives us. He'll supply to the full. He'll supply until the need is met. I love this one. He gives like a king. He gives like a king. He doesn't give like we do. Somebody's in need, you know, we give them a few bucks, right? A couple of years back, Lord blessed us, the church, with a tractor. We, in our budget meeting, this was 2 years ago, in our budget meeting in January, the church voted to buy a tractor, though we didn't have any money. We just decided we do the worldly thing, go borrow the money and get it, right? Y'all voted on it. About 2 weeks after that budget meeting in front of the church, had a man come to me and say, I want to buy the church a tractor. I said, well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Immediately in my mind, I'm sorry I'm this way, it's just the way that I am, because I've been around the corner a time or two. Immediately in my mind, I thought, what kind of tractor is this going to be? You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all would think the same thing. I'm just worldly that way. I don't have a lot of spiritual confidence. About 3 or 4 days later, he comes back into my office. He hands me a check for $25,000 and says, I've already got the tractor picked out. Brand new John Deere tractor. Go get it. Yes, sir. Whatever you want. Didn't just buy, you know, he bought the Cadillac of all Cadillacs. We use it all around here all the time. See, God doesn't just supply, you know, the change in the pocket. He gives like a king. He fills to the full. Don't just expect to get scraps from the Lord's table. He'll give you the steak. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we get this ideal that, well, the Lord will just give me a few. No, He gives you all things. All things that you need. That's the supply that He gives to us. And then, fourth, He gives us according to His riches. And again, we could spend a lot of time here, but just how rich is God? How rich is God? He created the earth. He created the earth, therefore He owns the earth. The Creator owns what He creates. Amen. People believe in evolution because they don't want to be accountable to the Creator. If you're created by Him, then you are subject to Him. Amen? Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the trees. He owns the wind. He owns the rivers. He owns the fish. He owns it all. He owns all things. According to His riches. He's rich also not only in nature, if you would, but also in wisdom. There's no time with Him. He knows all things. I think if you know all things, you'd be pretty rich, right? Right? Amen. So He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen to you next week. He knows what's going to happen to me 10 years from now. He knows what's going to happen to me the rest of my life. He's rich in wisdom and knowledge. He knows all things. He's rich in grace, the Bible says. Grace. What is grace? That's God's unmerited favor. God's unearned favor. Listen this morning, listen. God loves you this morning. God is gracious to us in that He loves us without strings attached. He loves us unconditionally. Listen, He loves us unconditionally. He loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter anything about your life, He loves you this morning. Paul, who wrote the book of Philippians, was a murderer, and God loved him and saved him, made him an apostle, and had him write over half the New Testament. God loves you. He is gracious. He is full of grace, grace that He extends to us. How rich is He? He's rich enough to never hold any grudges. He's rich enough to forget what you've done to Him today and forget it forever when you ask for forgiveness. See, you can't do that. Somebody may come to you and say, will you forgive me for saying that? Well, you can forgive them, but you're not going to forget. God is rich enough to forget. He forgets. That's the God that we have, that according to His riches. But notice it says, according to His riches in glory. So if He owns the earth and the heaven, He owns all time and wisdom, and He owns basically what I was saying, owns love and the understanding of love and the unconditional love and grace. But you understand that that's not even touching the hem of the garment of His riches, because He owns the riches in heaven, in glory. Oh, man. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, walls of jasper. Amen? Oh, we could spend some time. Our God is beyond comprehension rich. To our finite minds, there's no way we can comprehend truly how rich He is. That is His resources to supply your needs and my piddly needs. Our needs are just a drop in the bucket to Him. Though He is concerned of them. Ain't that something? Though our needs may be minuscule in comparison to others, God's concerned about your needs and He's promised to supply your needs. Lastly, by Jesus Christ. Let's read the verse again and this will be our conclusion. Philippians 4:19, but my God. Who's God? The God of Paul and Abraham, the God of the apostles. My God, when I accepted Him as my Savior, shall supply. That means to the full. Not like a pauper would supply, but like a king would supply. All your needs, both physical and spiritual, according to His riches and glory. He's rich beyond all comprehension. Then what? By Jesus Christ. If your needs are to be met, your physical needs, your temporal needs are to be met, they're to be met by Jesus Christ. See, the Philippian church sent Epaphroditus with the resources that they had gathered there in Philippi to give to Paul in his time of need there in that Roman prison. So does God, by way of His Son, come to us, each of us, and supplies our individual needs. Jesus Christ is that supplier of your needs. If He is the supplier of the need, then I ought to abide in Him, as John said, abide in Him. I in you, He says. He is the sustainer of life. He's the giver of life. He's the supplier of the need. We ought to abide in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We ought to stick close to Him. By the way, He never moves. We're the one that moves, right? So Jesus is standing here, but we allow sin and other things into our life, the cares of this world, to allow ourselves to be drawn away from Him. As Christians, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about in that fellowship and that relationship with Him. He's the need supplier, but yet He's over there and we're over here. How are we to get our needs supplied if He's over there and we're over here? We're to come to Him. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace in your time of need. We're to come back over here. Get our needs supplied. Our physical and our spiritual needs supplied. We must abide in Him. Abide in that vine. We are the branches. And He supplies that sap, that sustenance we need in this life, both physical and spiritual. The Bible says, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. When we accept Christ as our Savior, He brings us to life, our spiritual soul alive, makes us sons of God, joint heirs with Him, children of the Heavenly Father. And as children, there's benefits. And those benefits are that our needs will be supplied. I enjoyed Thanksgiving. I enjoyed going to my parents' house. I enjoyed Tanya's parents came to our house. I don't know what food we supplied, but it wasn't much. My mother-in-law brought most of it. Already cooked, ready to go. I think my wife made some pies. We won't tell you where they came from, but she made them, though, because they were in the oven. They smelled good. My mother-in-law brought turkey and I don't know what all else, but it was so good. So good. Went to my parents Friday and had leftovers, but they were still good. My dad made briskets. Oh, it was good. You know, my dad has supplied many of my needs and will continue. If I was to ask him, he'd do anything for me. I know that. Your Heavenly Father will supply every need you have if you'll simply come to Him and ask. You know, the word prayer simply means ask. Just come to Him and He'll supply the need. Maybe you're here this morning, you've come with a need. Maybe this morning you're here and you have a spiritual need, a physical need, whatever it is. Won't you come to the altar? Come to Jesus Christ, the need supplier, right? By Jesus Christ, and ask. So that's kind of selfish. Well, maybe you ought to come down and pray for somebody else and then enter His presence with some of your questions and some of your needs. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe this morning you've never received righteousness. Once you come down the front, a worker here will show you from the Bible how you can know you can have eternal life. Let's all stand. Hymn 534.